your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
And Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. It is great to have you with us today on the Morning Drive. We look forward to hearing from you throughout the morning on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app for that. And it is presented by Happy State Bank. Also, the Visual Edge IT hotline is open at 806-771-0973. Jamie, you're missing out this morning as Jeff McGuire was quite the little pastry chef last night. He made cookies.
This is not a pastry. This is a chocolate chip cookie. We were baking.
You're right. I was looking for the right word, and I just couldn't come up with it. So I went with a different word that was inaccurate. But hey, that's kind of what we do. Anyway, the chocolate chip cookies are fantastic, and they're nice and soft too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So
I think I made enough, Jamie, for you to have one when you get back.
Okay. All right.
Wow. Hopefully they'll be. I don't know. It's hard to keep those around for very many days when they're nice and soft.
I didn't bring them all up.
I knew you didn't.
No. There's another stash at home. Yeah.
Jamie, when you were having your convo with Coach Tadlock last night, did you pass along any of our strategy or ideas that we've kind of thrown out there over the last few days or weeks regarding his baseball team?
Man. Just didn't have time. Maybe today.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't figure that you probably would, but at any rate.
Well, he was just a chatty Tim, and I didn't want to interrupt him with some of our strategy.
Okay. Yeah. We don't want to give it all away right away. So last night, the Red Raiders broke a record for home runs in a game. The previous record was 8. Now, this is significant because it goes back to 1997, the last time that you hit 8 in a game, and that was against Missouri on April the 5th. You also did it on March the 23rd of 96 against Baylor, and then March the 23rd against Baylor, but 1984, so 12 years apart. But what's significant to me, and I just know that the bats were different, especially in the Clint Bryant era. And look, not to take anything away from him, but the bat was way different. To do it with these bats, I think is, and I realize the pitching and who you're playing and all that kind of stuff. But still, you hit 9 in a game, and with a bat that's been dialed back substantially since the late 90s, Jamie.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree that makes it even more impressive. Obviously, the wind was blowing out, and that gave you a little bit of help last night. Definitely, I don't think the first Cade McGee home run gets out if it's not blowing out. The rest of them were struck pretty well, so I wonder a little bit. But, you know, it was like Coach Tadlock said last night to me, he's like, you know, it's nice to come here and play where it's not blowing in. So, because it usually is blowing in there. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why it seems like they're always tough games here. But, it is extremely impressive. And it was a lot of hard hit balls. McGee's should have been a routine fly ball to the outfield. Okay, but the rest of them were, hit on a line and hit hard, and they were no doubters. So it kind of felt like off the bat they were going to be home runs, wind or no wind. So, and it is a different bat. So it was impressive, no question. We did, however, we got a bunch of complaints about our radio station last night.
We did. Because,
a bunch of people were dialing in, and they were criticizing us because they felt like our station had turned to a Hispanic station, because every time they were listening, they just kept hearing adios muchacho.
You should have had them play a little Ruben Ramos or a little little Moz or some Duello or even Signo for your bounce back music, then that would have really that really shook him up a little bit there too.
I think our boy Hax, if you listen to the home run calls, by the time it got to, you know, the seventh or eighth, he was exhausted. You could hear him like kind of running out of steam. It was kind of fun. And also, I'll say this. So last night during the broadcast, as we're closing in on that record, and, you know, Jeff and I are paying attention to it, the two guys that called the game in 1997, Ryan Hyatt and Mark Finkner, were both listening in, and both of them were kind of sharing their stories and their version of 1997, which was kind of cool for us as well. So that was kind of neat.
I have no doubt that Finkner could probably tell you on the eighth home run in 1997 what the pitch count was and what the time of day was and what the temperature was and what the wind going out. He's got that Rain Man kind of deal.
Yeah, Ryan sent us a picture of his book, and the Red Raiders that day started off homer, homer, homer.
Oh, man.
Guy gets on base, homer. So four of the first five batters left the yard.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Was that a home game? Was that a game here in Lubbock, or do you recall?
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great that those guys chimed in last night to do that. All right, so Tech will play at TCU tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Somebody has asked you this, and it's a good question, so I'll ask you it as well so you can share with everybody. What's the pitching rotation look like for the Red Raiders this weekend?
I would guess it stays the same as last weekend. I think there's a benefit to having Kyle Robinson pitch on Saturdays, who is the guy that goes deepest into games for the most part. That's what we've seen. So it allows you to use guys like you did last weekend, like Sanders on Friday and Sunday. So yeah. I would suspect we'll see Ryan Free tomorrow, Robinson Saturday, and Hewer on Sunday. That's just my guess, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. So, I guess you can kind of say this. I mean, again, I understand you're going to say, well, the level of, you know, competition and all those kinds of things. But still, man, winning is winning. And sometimes you get a little, get that kind of going, and you get that kind of that winning feeling going. And it carries over to the tougher games. And, you know, as a lot of people say, well, you're only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. True. There's no doubt about that. But there is also something to be said for guys that go up to the plate with a lot of confidence and feeling like that no matter who's out there for that starting pitcher or relief pitcher for your opponent, that they can hit them. And now it's just up to your pitchers to, you know, kind of keep the ball in the park and your fielders to make some routine plays.
Yeah, another solid night hitting with runners in scoring position last night. So that's a big deal for me. 5 for 11 last night. Now, a couple of them were just playing home runs, but but still, I feel like your offense is playing a lot better than it was, you know, a few weeks ago. You want to see that on the road this weekend. You saw it. I mean, this was a road game, and it went well, no doubt. But you want to see it this weekend against TCU, against a Big 12 team on the road, because again, I think in your Big 12 road series, I'm kind of remembering, I think you're 2 for 37 with runners in scoring position combined between Baylor and Orlando with UCF. So that's a number that's got to change if you're gonna win a series this weekend.
I wonder if today's technology that you could like travel with a big screen that could just throw up a big backdrop that made it look like you were virtually in Lubbock at Rip Griffin Park. And so the fellows would be kind of like tricked into thinking, oh, hey, we're playing at home.
They probably felt that way last night, because after every home run, there was a Raider power.
Yeah, I heard you say
that.
Awesome.
So whoever that guy was that got it started, way to go. That was awesome.
Yeah. It's 6:24 this morning here on Lubbock Sports Station. Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Good morning.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Morning Drive. Thank you for being with us today. We'll have day baseball for you today. as the Astros and the Royals will conclude things in Kansas City, and the Rangers and the A's will conclude things today in Arlington. good night for the Rangers last night, Jamie, as they win over the not so swinging A's. 6-2 was the final in that one, and with that win on his major league managerial career, San Diego, San Francisco, and with the Rangers, Bruce Bochy got to 2,100 career victories. He's 2,100 and 2,106. So, you know, there's good times and bad times, but the good times for Bruce Bochy is he's a four-time World Series winner, including this past year with the Texas Rangers. But that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Hey, he's won 2,100 times, and like, yep, and I've lost 2,106.
That's crazy. That's a lot. That's a lot of games, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot of games. That's a lot of games. So those two teams will conclude things tonight, or today, I should say. And then the Royals continued their winning ways as they beat down the Astros 11-2 last night in Kansas City. So those two teams, again, will play at 12:40. We'll have it for you on 100.7 The Score. And then the Rangers and the A's at 1 o'clock. So that's good. The Rangers will start Jonathan Gray today on the hill. And I saw a headline. Max Scherzer apparently getting closer and closer to coming back. Again, he had a bullpen session and apparently felt good after it. So I think more than anything else, you just don't want him to get too far ahead of himself so that he has another setback. But I mean, if he's feeling good, he's feeling good. And that'd be great news for the Rangers.
Yes, definitely good news
to get him and Jacob DeGrom, the same thing. You know, he's rehabbing as well. And so you get both those guys into your rotation, and that makes it pretty stout. But you know, long ways to go as far as baseball is concerned. We get this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line, Jamie. Listen to the game last night while mowing my mom's huge yard. Timed it up just right because the wrap-up show ended as I got home. And then he said, kudos to your producer that put all the audio of the home runs together for the plays of the game. Plays of the game.
Yeah, the home runs, just playing the home runs you just clip together back to 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 back, back, back. Took over 2.5 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Somebody said this off the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Saw a picture from Hacks on your announcer's booth. Good grief, that was small. You guys have talked about you've not complained about how small it was. You've just talked about how small it was. You might complain to yourselves, but you've been good stewards about that. But it's a cramped little place there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely made for one person, and Jeff and I are more than one person.
Yeah.
So it's definitely tight. I mean, they're good people there at ACU, but I'll take it over UCF's all day, every day. So there was not a big, massive beam or a wall in front of me, and I could actually see the field. So
that's
I'll
good.
Take it over UCF any day of the week.
That's good. And tomorrow you get to sit amongst them there in Fort Worth. You get to enjoy that with the fans.
All weekend long, yeah. I'll take AC over TCU as well. So there you go.
Do you have an umbrella with you to kind of help you with the sun?
I probably wouldn't use it for sun, but I do have an umbrella with me in case it rains.
Yeah.
I don't usually wear a hat to games, but when I have to be outside, I do. So that'll serve its purpose.
Wow. I don't know that I've ever seen you wear a hat. Very, very rarely.
Weekends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not really hanging on the weekends. I mean, I think you get.
Oh man, that's disappointing.
You get a full dose of me Monday through Friday, so I'm sure you probably go. Yeah. No to the Heinzes. No. I see enough of him. I really don't want to.
I've heard the stories about the colony. We are. The Lentz and the Heinz are not mixing on the weekends.
It's a colony. It's not a...
We do it different than you do it, Chuck.
Think of the children.
This from our friend Darren in Buffalo. Jamie, that was a fun game last night. Tell Jeff to never apologize for keeping it light. Y'all were having fun because the team was breaking records. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of things that were really comical last night. I mean, there were a couple... there was a very excitable, I don't know what you call them, like an event MC, whatever. That, uh-huh. I mean, was really excitable. That was had us chuckling a little bit.
Was he in the stands kind of guy?
He was out on the field running events. I mean, this guy was excited. I mean, he's the hype guy you want, man. I mean, he was getting after it. So that was fun. There were a couple of, you know, kind of 70s, 80s rock songs that were played in between innings or whatever. And for whatever reason, they were sped up. That really had us cracking up. I mean, it was, I mean, like on fast forward, they were playing. So that was also, I don't know why, but that was comical as well.
If any of these teams asked you guys to participate in like the Dizzy Bat thing or, you know, cotton candy eating or anything along those lines, would you be good sports and participate in that?
I would not do the Dizzy Bat race for fear that I would biff it and grass stain clothes or shoes. And so, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless I had the right, you know, fit on that I wouldn't mind ruining. Uh-huh. The cotton candy one, man, I don't really like cotton candy, so that would be tough for me.
Okay.
How about like where they just, you know, I see this one over at LCU and I think it's great where you have to throw like massive French fries into a tub.
Oh, okay.
You know,
sure.
Yeah, I like that. Like these massive fries. I would do that one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. 6:39 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Moving by smoothly so far today. No rocky weather.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
This morning here on the Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us. Yates Flooring Center chat line remains open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app. It's presented by Happy State Bank. Visual Edge IT Hotline is open as well this morning. We'll have Astro Baseball at 12:40 on 100.7 The Score. They finish up their series with Kansas City, and then the Rangers and the A's conclude their series today at 1 here on Double T 97.3. And then both those teams will head to Houston and play in H-Town over the weekend. All right, Jamie, the head basketball job at Kentucky is open. As John Calipari has done his deal with Arkansas, they've had their call of the Hogs, and he stood in front of the masses and tried to convince them he's excited to be there. But now it goes to Big Blue Nation, and who are they going to go get? So here's what I've been able to cobble together. Scott Drew's family was in Lexington yesterday. They flew in and out just to kind of take a tour of the city and tour of the surroundings so they can kind of have an idea of what's going on. Scott Drew was not there. When they came back, they landed in Temple, and he did not get off that plane. Scott Drew was having lunch with a Baylor booster yesterday at a restaurant in Waco. And here's the nutso Kentucky fans. They're calling the restaurant, trying to get to the waitress, probably trying to find out what he's eating and to tell him that they've got that there in Lexington. And now this morning there's a report that Drew is in negotiations with Kentucky and a decision is expected soon, perhaps as early as today. So it's interesting, obviously, for all different kinds of reasons, because what kind of impact does that have on Texas Tech? Does Baylor, if they lose Scott Drew, go after Grant McCaslin, or is Jerome Tang the Bears' first choice, or is it somebody else?
Yeah, I think if I was Kirby Hokut, I probably would be chatting with Grant McCaslin right now. I don't think there's any question about that. That's my first comment. My second comment is, okay, so I'm just, this is kind of an off the wall question here. You made that sound like you were doing some deep digging. How did we come across the information of where Scott Drew was eating and where his family was and all that?
I mean, there's some
story read?
I'm not just making it up.
No, I just, you kind of made it sound like you had found out that information yourself.
No.
How you got the info.
I thought
it was pretty cool.
I Googled it, you know. I mean, it's not like I've got, I don't have any Baylor insiders that I'm calling, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think I said reports, but I mean, you know. I don't have any Baylor insiders.
You said something about the information I have cobbled together.
Well, I mean, just I've cobbled it together because I've Googled it on my device and I've just kind of put it all together. I'm not any kind of sleuth here. Okay.
Okay. So I don't think I'm telling anybody anything new here. I think. If you're the AD at a school like ours is here and he knows the domino effects that could happen, you just have to be proactive, right? And you're having conversations with Grant McCaslin and saying, hey, if they come, we really think highly of you here. We really want you here. And if they come calling, talk to us first because we'd like to try to, you know, do what we can in our power to make you stay.
Let me ask you this: knowing that this is out there, would you rather be the employer that does the presumptive, you know, close here? In other words, before Baylor gets, let's just say, Kirby goes to McCaslin today and go, we want to redo your deal, regardless of what happens at Kentucky, regardless of what happens at Baylor, we don't want to be in a position where you feel like that you're not wanted. What you did this past year and getting us to the tournament and riding the ship, and it looks like we've got, you know, the right guy here. We want to take care of this now. So before there's anything else, let's get a deal done.
If you did that this week, it would still be you. You could have done that already.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing that today, it's obvious to him that it's coming because the possibility of Baylor. So any thought that like, hey, we just really love you and this is about you, and it's not about Baylor. He's not. Grant McCaslin's not dumb.
No, I know. But I mean, sometimes it's better to, I mean, obviously everybody knows that this situation could come. I mean, you're right. He's not dumb. But I mean, sometimes it's nice to be able, before anybody even asks you, before you're even kind of presented with that opportunity, is to go ahead and make that jump.
Again, I don't disagree with you, but that would have been needed to have been done before.
And for all we know, maybe
it was. You're right.
You know,
you're right. Yeah.
And I do think at some point in time, and look, and if you're McCaslin and somebody gets to him today and says, hey, what do you think about the Baylor job? He's like, is the Baylor job open? I think they've got a coach there, and he's won a national championship and done really, really good there.
If I was Grant McCaslin and I was hit up by the media today, that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would also mention, hey, I'm fully committed to Texas Tech, and I plan to be the coach here next year and for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say all of those things in the back of my mind going, but man, if my alma mater comes, yeah, I'll blow that off.
But and
what would you say? Wouldn't you? I mean,
I think you'd have to at least.
Scott Drew's there now, and I'm committed to Texas Tech. But
absolutely.
You know what? If he leaves, man, I'm going to be anxious to see if that's an opportunity for me. He's not going to say that.
No. I mean,
and then if he says what we all know he should say, and I'm fully committed to Texas Tech, I plan to be the coach here. And then 2 days from now, Baylor calls and he leaves. We'll all be like, what a two-faced liar.
Yeah.
Even though we know he has to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we want him to say it.
And we want him to say it, right.
And if we were in the position, we would lie too.
Sure. You know, but what's your concern level right now? Is it very high or is it not very high at all?
I would say it's like middle of the pack. Okay, like it's a 5 out of 10.
Okay, so what?
Because I think, I mean, and I say that because I think Grant McCaslin's a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's proven himself,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that I think Jerome Tang is a better coach. And so I don't know. I wonder if there are people at Baylor that think the same thing.
See, this is what I think. I think that Grant McCaslin has a higher ceiling and shelf life than Jerome Tang.
I think he's a better coach.
I agree with you. Somebody said this: it's good that Tech has a coach that others want. Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing that you can do is put your coaches in a situation where they go, "Hey, I know that somebody else wants me, but I got a better deal here. This is a better situation for me here."
To answer your question, Chuck, I'm not nervous yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Baylor job isn't open yet.
Right.
Scott Drew can still say no, and then the dominoes don't fall. Like, mm-hmm. we still have to get to that point first before I start to get nervous. Because Scott Drew could decide that, hey, I like what I've got at Baylor. We've already won national championship here. We're playing in the Big 12 here. I've got a tough enough schedule. My family's already here. My kids are here. Don't have to uproot everything and then start over
mm-hmm.
if I went to Kentucky. All of that can still happen. I'm not resting all my hopes on that, but it starts there. That has to change first for me to get nervous.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point.
Yeah.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, guys. I hope I'm not asking a question that our current men's basketball coach could be an answer to. But since we're talking about coaches for the Red Raiders, my question is going to involve coaches that have led our Red Raiders. And you can pick any era of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to take how you feel now about said person. I want you to be in the moment of when it happened. Tell me the Texas Tech head coach that left, whether he got fired or whether he left on his own, that you're the most disappointed it didn't work out, that you were at the time the most disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, it happened and you were really sad when it happened. Well, again, whether it be he got fired or whether it be he took a job somewhere else, whatever.
And sport is what it's any sport, right?
Yeah, it can be any sport.
I think for me, the first coach that comes to my mind is James Dickey. Just because the circumstances that surrounded his dismissal weren't all entirely his fault with regard to the academic problems that took place and just the timing of things. It was, you know, they'd had such a, you know, terrific year there in 96, and it kind of felt like, man, we're getting to a spot, and they'd had a really good year, I think, in 93, and then the wheels kind of fell off there a little bit. But he was such a good person and a good representation of your university. And still to this day, he's always been gracious and always been just a gentleman. So for me, it's James Dickey.
Okay.
I'm kind of torn here because there's three names that jump out for different reasons on this. I really wanted Cliff to work out because of what he meant to your university from a football perspective, from a fan base perspective mm-hmm. as a player, the other coaches talking about Cliff, the stories you hear that weren't involving football with other coaches' interactions with him. Like, he is a Red Raider and lived and died with this program, and it just didn't work out. The other one that immediately comes to mind in this that I was just disappointed things didn't work out was Don Flora. Because he was such a good guy for the Red Raider volleyball team. And, you know, part of that is because we had all of us up here knew who he was and had conversations with him, and you just couldn't ever get it fixed. The third one that I'm kind of debating between is Dan Spencer with Tech Baseball. Again, another one of our guys that always felt like you were just one little thing away to get it to work right and could never get it to work. Because of the importance of football and what he means to the university, I guess I'm going with Cliff, but it's hard for me to pick between those three.
Yeah, so the first couple names for me were both football, and I'm deciding between Mike Leach and Cliff Kingsbury. And ultimately, I think it's Cliff Kingsbury for me, like Jeff, just because, I thought he was, and still do think he's a great man, a great guy, and I think it killed him that he couldn't get Texas Tech where he wanted to get it to. Because he loves the university so much, because he cared for the football program so much. I think, as a Red Raider fan, like he was, I think he hated so much that he couldn't get to the program where he wanted it to get to, where we all wanted it to get to, and hopefully where Joey McGuire will take it to. But that was the one for me. I think great guy, great person, great Red Raider. Mike Leach, I just really enjoyed his tenure as far as what the football was and his quirky personality. Mm-hmm. And so it was, Tech football was Mike Leach for a while, or Mike Leach was Tech football for a while. And, it was really disappointing for me. How all of that went down. It was also disappointing when he was flirting with other schools when he was here. But how all of that went down, I tend to give probably some blame on both sides there. I'm not one way hardcore or the other. I'm not angry with the people that moved on from him, because clearly he deserved what he got. But at the same time, I hated that he left, but Kingsbury is definitely my number one answer.
Yeah. I would have bet everything that I own that you were going to say that. No question. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you. I agree with what Jeff said about Coach Kingsbury too. I think that he wanted it to work, and probably, you know, at some point in time in life when he's retired and they say, hey, what's the one spot that didn't work out for you? I mean, he could come back and win a Super Bowl with somebody for all we know. He might say, I think he would say Texas Tech.
I think Jeff's Don Flora, and for me, Todd Petty, who I know is a good friend of mine. I'm trying to take my my bias out of it from mm-hmm. guys that I know and I'm friends with. So, but hate that they're not here also.
Yeah. Yeah. 7:38 this morning here, on the morning drive. Somebody brought up, Ruffin McNeil. Yeah. I was sad to see him go when he didn't get the job, on a permanent basis over Tommy Tuberville. I was hopeful that that Ruff would get it.
Leach.
Well, sure.
Well, no, Ruffin was with Leach.
I know that, but he was the interim coach.
I thought you meant after Tuberville that Ruffin.
No.
My apologies.
No. When Ruff didn't get the job, it came down to him and Tuberville, and they selected Coach Tuberville over Ruffin McNeil. It would be great to go back, and if you could undo time, do kind of a quantum leap and go, let's go back and let's introduce Ruffin as the head football coach. It may not have gone well. He may have been one of those classic guys that is a great rah-rah guy, but not a great head coach. Or it may have been like, hey, we're just going to keep this train rolling and see if we can keep it going. Because you would have had some guys that would have stayed with him.
Yeah, but you also had an offensive coordinator that would have stayed here instead of going where they went and then become the Oklahoma head coach.
I know. So, right. That's.
I think he had a pretty good staff if he had stuck around.
That's right. That's my point. Yeah, I agree.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
1-1 pitch, turned on and crushed towards center. This might be the school record. That ball is out of here. Home run number 9 on the night for the Red Raiders. The second for Drew Woodcox. It's 21-3. The Red Raiders have left the yard 9 times tonight, a school record going back to 1997.
Crazy when you think about it. Jamie Lint there on the call, and he is with us this morning from Abilene. They'll head to Fort Worth later today. Red Raiders will be there tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Good morning with Jeff McGuire in the aforementioned Jamie Lint. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from our respective First United Bank studios this morning. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to TT973.com for that. Or the Visual Edge IT hotline. It's open, too, at 806-771-0973. So the good guys win at 21-3. Talked about the home runs, and Jamie's talked about the pitching, which was great, just from the standpoint that you didn't have to use anybody you're going to use this weekend, and you got out of there with 7 innings of work, and your starter acquitted himself pretty well, although he gave up 4 hits and 3 runs, but then everybody after that, no hits and no runs. Some walks, some strikeouts, but you got out and played some pretty clean baseball, Jamie, at the end of the day. I mean, you had one error, but you said that was a tough play on for TJ Pompey, but for the most part, played clean baseball yesterday.
On the mound and in the field yesterday. So, I mean, it was really a complete baseball game for your Red Raiders.
All right, so Tech now will face TCU over the weekend. Their team that's struggled, but I guess they're kind of like you. They've played well at home, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. 14-3 at home for the Horned Frogs. They've been good there. So, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, all Big 12 season long, you're just saying to yourself, okay, when's TCU going to turn it on? When are they going to turn it around? When are they going to start playing like the team that they're talented enough to play like? And just keep thinking it's going to happen. And it hasn't up to this point. But, I mean, playing at home, they're a different team. So this is another big challenge for Tech.
And I guess if you knew the reason why teams played better at home than on the road, and especially this year for both of those teams, you'd say, well, I'm going to be the head coach of fill-in-the-blank team, because they would pay you a lot of money if you could crack the code of how you can play well on the road as well as you play at home.
Well, I mean, part of it's obvious in that sometimes you like playing in front of your home fans and with people cheering you on and not booing you. It's easier. It's better. You're more comfortable in the surroundings. Those things factor in. You're staying, sleeping in your own bed, all that good stuff. You get better sleep, whatever. Maybe that's a part of it. I don't know. All those things probably factor in.
Yeah. So Tech with 9 home runs last night, and you said the wind was blowing out last night, but I mean, you also have to be able to, you have to be able to hit it too, to get it up in the air. And you felt like there was really just, would you say there was just one wind aided, or would you say there was more than one wind aided?
I think so. I felt like the other 8 were getting out on their own. Maybe they wouldn't have carried as far, but I felt like the other 8 were getting out on their own. But just the Cade McGee one in the second inning that looked like a pop up to medium depth right center field that somehow got out. But you hit the ball hard. I mean, either way, you hit it on a line a bunch last night. And I guess the other part of that, Chuck, is so the wind was blowing out. And how many home runs did ACU hit? So that just shows you the job that your pitching staff did last night.
And speaking of McGee, he went 2 for 2. He scored 4 runs. He had 3 RBI. He also walked 3 times. So it's good to see him have a game where he didn't get hit.
Sure. Yeah, on base all 5 times last night. He was our player of the game. I thought he was terrific at the plate.
You know, and just one last thing on him. It has to affect you to some degree, right? I mean, because he's been hit, I think, I don't know if it's 19 times or 17 times. It's in that ballpark, but It's gotta affect your mind a little bit, going, oh geez, man, I'm gonna come up here to the plate. Am I gonna get hit again? And maybe that just in the back of your mind affects your ability to swing and hit, and you know, if you can get a few games without that happening, maybe that's kind of puts you in a better frame of mind when you're going to the plate, as opposed to, am I gonna get hit again?
I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Chuck, I think Cade McGee goes to the plate. I think Cade McGee crowds the plate. I think Cade McGee doesn't give on inside pitches.
Okay.
And I think Cade McGee goes to the plate and says, if they pitch me inside and I have to wear that, this one, great. Have at it. I'll take first base.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not
saying he's trying to get hit, but I'm also not saying it's affecting him in a negative way at all. I think Cade McGee thinks that's part of the game, and he's a tough guy. And go ahead, hit me. That's fine. I'll go down to first base. I think that's part of what he does. Okay. I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just a coincidence that he's been hit this many times.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I will respectfully agree with you then, because you, okay. you're,
if I was going to play and I got hit once, yes, I'd be thinking like that. I don't think Cade McGee is.
You'd wince. I mean, we'd all wince. We'd all wince. Like, close our eyes, going, "You're gonna hit me."
I would back up.
Yeah,
I would back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Cade McGee. I mean, he definitely, like I said, it's part of his game. He crowds the plate. He leans in. I mean, whatever. He's not giving on inside pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's happy to take a HBP.
Yeah. Okay. All right. 8:08 this morning here on the morning drive, and Jamie expects the same rotation as last weekend, with the Red Raiders facing TCU, and we'll get.
I mean,
we'll
what
get more into
really?
That.
What other options really do you have?
No, I really liked your analysis a week ago when you talked about how the reason for putting Kyle Robinson on Saturday is because he can potentially go deepest for you when he's on, and that allows you to use some guys from the bullpen on Friday and Sunday. I thought that made a lot of sense. And so I think sounds like you were pretty much spot on there for that. So we'll see. We'll see what transpires with the weekend there for Texas Tech and TCU. We'll have the Astros and the Royals today on 100.7 The Score from Kansas City. That'll be at 12:40. And then the Rangers and the A's from the ballpark there in Arlington. That'll be at 1 here on Double T 97.3. Boy, tomorrow we've got a lot of baseball. We've got Friendship Cooper, they take on Odessa on Sunny 97.7. We've got Lubbock Cooper. They meet up with Monterey. And then we'll have the Red Raiders and TCU from Fort Worth. And then as we get to it, the Astros and the Rangers, the Astro version, and then the Rangers and the Ranger version after the Tech game here on Double T 97.3. So it is a full weekend again for us here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Good morning.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.